17-year-olds nowadays are crazy. They even like it when you go ass to mouth.
Hey!
You never go ass to mouth, Randall.
You sound like my mom.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I'm Seymour.
And I'm Koba.
I played so much of that game, it was nuts.
If it's got EA on it, I'm not gonna buy it.
Headshot.
Okay, I don't even know what day it is.
Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games.
Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 128. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
It is August 13th, 2006. Sorry we missed the last 2 weeks. That was, my fault the week one.
Yeah.
Well, not really even my fault. The air conditioner broke here, and I'm sorry, but it becomes like two doors down from hell here where we live, and it sucks ass, and there is no way. I'd have passed out from the heat.
Mm-hmm.
I do not do well. And your house is that bad all the time.
Yes.
So we couldn't just like go there, and I didn't want to like sit in the park with Kobar's laptop and look weird. So we did not do it. Like sitting under a shady tree, that'd be awesome. Like dogs would roll up on us and stuff. Start licking your monitor.
Yeah, taking a piss on it.
That would not be cool. And the next week,
I got sick.
Mr. Kobar got the plague. It wasn't that bad, though, right?
No, it just was too bad to do the show. I didn't want to get you sick. And
yeah, I would have died and wound up in a coma or something for like 9 months or something. Jesus. This should have been 130 this month. Should have been 215 by now.
Yeah.
Yeah, in all the missed shows. Good God. But, although, I have noticed that we're not the only ones having trouble. Not as far as other podcasts go. Ouch. But a little part of me just died inside.
Well, the others can be podcasts.
Right, right. The, yeah, exactly.
The lesser shows.
Yes. And they are lesser shows. But, you know, like checking out, your average news sites and whatnot, the kind of places that you spend all day looking up news and information, usually for technology and whatnot, just, it's like a barren wasteland. It's like Afghanistan out there. There is nothing going on, you know? It's crazy. I mean, and they all admit it, too. They're all like, yeah, August sucks. Deal with it. Here's like the 12th story about, you know, whatever that you've heard about before.
Mm-hmm.
It's still interesting, you know. It's pretty weak. And then if you go to some like retarded site like Dig, instead of like every third story being about its own site, it's like every other story now, you know.
Right.
And then every other one is about like some new guy who installed Ubuntu and he links to his own blog talking about it. That's terrible. I fucking hate that site. In any case, we're back. Oh, we should. And we're back! Damn. And let's see. What else did we miss here? Oh, the logos are being redone for the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need some like high quality, mega graphic, Crash Thunderbird, because these images are so goddamn large, uber graphics by Flink.
Yeah, he's doing a good job, too.
They're amazing. I'll tell you, I'm such a noob graphics, dude. I don't know anything about them. So I pull it up in GIMP here. And, like, it looks like ass. And I'm sitting there going, what the hell? I know, you know, what's wrong with this? And when it scales it down to, like, 60% or whatever, so it fits on your screen,
mm-hmm.
it looks funky. And I'm like, well, that looks okay, though, because it would look fine on a shirt, though. But then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. And I zoom it in, and it's, like, 8 monitors worth of stuff. And I'm like, I can't even imagine how somebody, like, could even create something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. It looks really good. So I guess we're going to have to – we're waiting on those. And then I tried to stop by the place to ask the place what they wanted, what they needed as far as, you know, requirements and whatnot for the shirts and hats and whatnot. And they were closed.
Oh,
right. Like this place is 45 – no. Just for the day that I was there. They're closed on the weekends, I've discovered. And that kind of blows because it's like 40 minutes, maybe 45 or so away from here.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's like not that I get down there all the time, but I got the phone number. So I'm just going to have to call her and bug her.
There are places up here too.
Yeah, I got the number of a place actually recently, in fact. And I've actually seen only some of their work, one shirt of it. Not like the place I went into and saw all kinds of shit.
Right.
So I was thinking I might just check out that local place. And there's also the possibility that I was thinking about, and this has been something I've been rolling around in my head an awful lot, going with an online place. Not a crap place like Cafe Press where everything is just like printed on with some guy with a printer, mm-hmm. you know. But a nice place. And there's been a couple places that seem to make some really nice stuff. So I've got one place in mind. I think the price might be a little too high, though. However, the difference is they'll actually get around to doing things on time. See, what happens when you leave it up to me? It's been how many months now? Right? Now imagine if I had to actually, like, mail these things out, and I start to worry about that. Like, you know what? It would take me forever because I happen to work exactly during the same hours the post office is always open. Mm-hmm. And then I'd be kind of screwed. And I thought, well, you know, if we had somebody else do it and they could handle the overseas shipping and whatnot, you know, off to those igloos and wherever and those people getting chased by polar bears in Norway and whatnot, right. you know, and somebody else could handle all the shipping and whatnot. And that's probably the better thing. So that's something else I need to look into.
Okay.
I might have to take a look at some quality things because I want to make it nice. I don't want to have a crappy shirt and a bad hat, you know.
Right.
That's retarded. In any case, website is hwhq.com. Well, I'm out of practice. I skipped all that. You can email us at c4.gameradio@gmail.com. And the IRC channel is irc.oftc.net. The channel is Gamer. First email for the week is from Dark Dragon Man Neo. This was sent on the 26th of July with no subject. Hey guys, what's up? Me again. What to clarify about the DS Lite and my huge hands. Remember he was talking about controllers and whatnot?
Right.
I want one because of all the good shit on the way for the thing and all the good shit I miss while I've been playing on my PSP. And before you ask about how big my old hands hold it, I'll tell you. I bought the attachment for it, the 4 GB hard drive and the double-sized battery, and that makes it fit into my hands much better, like a controller, in fact. Anyway, I really do have to pick it up, but now, like you said, Sony is getting their shit together with Valkyrie Profile and Tekken out now and more to come. My cash is being flushed down the crapper faster than I can get it with this shit and next-gen consoles on the way. What a time to be a gamer. So much crap, so little money. Also, about the finger paint thing, I totally understand. It drives me crazy with my PSP. However, I like the fact that it's black because it just won't fit well with my other stuff. I also agree price is a big thing, as I said before. I may just get the white one, but I will have to give it time to see if they announce it for the States first. Well, I did what you said and downloaded Final Fantasy VI. Wait, I didn't say download. You needed to go to eBay and purchase that shit. That's illegal.
We do not condone such things.
No, that is bad news right there, and you're going to have lawyers crawling down your throat and stuff, and the Secret Service busting your door in.
Something like that.
Yeah, or something, yeah. I'm not that far, but if it's as long as most Square games are, I still have got some time till I finish. Now, I can say it is really good, but I still like Final Fantasy VII more so far. Yeah, yeah, keep playing. You gotta keep playing and look beyond the 3D shiny graphics, I'm telling you. As far as story goes and character development...
I think Final Fantasy VI looks infinitely better than Final Fantasy VII.
Yes, it does, actually. Being like some of the first low-quality
3D... It's at the very, very end of the Super Nintendo graphics, while right. VII is the very beginning of...
Right, exactly. I think I just like the story of Final Fantasy VII, or maybe it's because Sephiroth doesn't laugh like a dumbass unlike Kefka. Hey, that's awesome. Wolf loves that kind of stuff. Their shoulders go up and down. Yeah, that's awesome. It may be that I feel sorry for Cloud, since he must be the only Final Fantasy character to not get any by the end. The date doesn't count since you can have anyone in your party besides, what's that name? Kate Sith, and even Barrett if you say the right things. I will say that Final Fantasy X was retarded in so many ways, but I can say one positive thing about it. It had Auron, who was badass. While on the subject of Square, you guys should get the Final Fantasy XII demo from Dragon Quest VIII and play it as well as Dragon Quest VIII and see how good the gameplay is. Also, has C4 seen Advent Children yet? No, I haven't. I've got it sitting right here, though, mocking me. It's in my list of movies that's sort of sitting here I need to watch. I keep seeing it.
I finally brought it over for you.
Yeah, so. I gotta watch that. Now, you've played Dragon Quest, right?
Oh, yes.
I came within inches of purchasing that the other day.
So did I.
It's time to buy that game, I believe. I was going to look into some things on it, and I think play the demo or something or check it out ahead of time, but it's 20 bones now.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I saw that, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. This is a great game. I should support this. And I didn't because I bought some crap. Oh, I bought Doom.
Yeah, that's terrible.
The movie. Now, unlike my other emails, I have a movie to bust on. Two, to be exact. The first is Snakes on a Plane. What the fuck? How far will Hollywood sink? I know it has Samuel Jackson, who is an awesome actor, but I doubt him saying the word fuck over and over again couldn't save Thing movie. What? Oh, this movie, probably. Now, I want to just say he doesn't say fuck. He says motherfucking, like nobody else says it. And yeah, we'll see. The second is Dead or Alive. The only way I'd see this movie would be if it had the jiggling that the game had. Well, I guess this won't be the first movie game to suck this year like Blood Rain. God, even the preview for that movie made my eyes burn and ears bleed. Well, keep them coming and I'll keep on listening. Blood Rain was complete ass. It was ass-tastic. And Dead or Alive, have you seen screenshots, pictures of the set and like some of the actresses?
A little bit. Not a lot.
Kasumi doesn't have any boobies.
That's terrible.
That's blasphemous.
There should have been a C-cup requirement, minimum.
Very least. Absolutely.
For
I mean,
all characters.
That's horrible. I do not understand the thought process behind that. The next email up is from Super Sin Sin, sent on July 30th. Dear friends and family. What the hell? I gotta remember how to read this. That's right. I read all these before trying to set it up. Dear friends and family, we are here today to say farewell to an old friend. Please, E3, don't leave me! Okay, I just read the article today that the Entertainment Software Association is going to cancel the E3 show as we know it. Now, I'm not much of a writer, so I'll just link you to the news that you probably have already heard, tinyurl.com/F4L H. Okay, it's not 100% certain that it's going to be canceled. The final word is probably on Monday, and I hope to God this does not happen. Although I live in Norway, I always dreamt of one time going to E3, and now that dream may never come true. Hold me, Mario! And another thing, the last radio cast you talked, awesome, talked about Hollow Man 2, and you said that you missed the Invisible Man that watched ladies in dresses and stuff like that. Then you should probably rent the first Hollow Man. In that movie, the Invisible Man is cooler. He sneaks into his hot neighbor's apartment to watch her, tries to rape a woman, etc. Okay, sorry to the one girl listening to the show, rape is bad, okay? Yes, it is, but, you know, that doesn't mean that you can't watch it on TV. And then just make a call to Jackie Thompson. Well, he does some of the things you requested, and I think it is overall a much better movie. I hope some of what was written makes any sense, because it's like 5 in the morning here, and I am from Norway, so pardon my English, but now I must send this email because my keyboard tapping attracts polar bears. Oh, yeah, now this is, I gotta remember how to pronounce that, Hilsener? From Super Sin Sin. If I remember, it's a greeting. I had to ask Mr. Mocker for that one. He hooked me up. Frozen Walkway, July 31st. I saw an MMO pie chart on Kotaku. That site's starting to bug me. Once, let me try to find it for you guys for reference and the unbelievable numbers or slices on here. It's mmogcharts.com/chart7.html. The C in chart is capital. Woot Eve Online has 1%. Cha boy. How am I supposed to read that? Let's see. Yes,
I think you did well.
I faked it. Yes, I do play Eve. Oh, and on the Transformers news, shit, if you're just looking at the trailer, then yeah, you got moon and stars and a logo, but if you've been keeping up with leaked news, which kind of blows, now he has like a spoiler here, but I think everybody's heard this, Optimus is going to be a goddamn fire truck. Bumblebee is going to not be a bug, but a cool-looking Camaro. Still not a bug, and I saw a pic of a Transformer in robot mode laying down. Looked kind of cool, though. See yas. So I don't know about that. I don't know if it's still that way, though, because Optimus wasn't a fucking fire truck, and Bumblebee was a yellow, like, VW bug type bug. Type bug. Bug. VW bug.
Bug, yeah.
Type bug. From DT.
I'm not sure why they made him a fire truck.
I don't either. No good reason. There's and how's he supposed to, like, open up and have all that cool shit in there?
I don't know.
You know? I don't know. Whatever. And I looked at the chart, and I was actually going to write some of the numbers down. Basically, World of Warcraft has like a gajillion percent. It's like over half, I swear to God. And then everything is like 1% or almost. And then there's like two games or some, or three games, I think, that have more than 1%, though. And it's like Final Fantasy XI, maybe EverQuest 2? I don't think so, though. I can't remember now, but whatever it is, it's only like four games. The next email is from DT. This came in on 805, episode 127. Yo, C4 and Crowbar. Yes, I am back, and I just heard episode 127, and man, you got it so wrong. Number one, you didn't do the Linux game show. I was so like, and he draws a little frowny face. And you know what? We're not happy about that either. And basically, it's because I'm having some serious audio problems here. I cannot manage to pull together. You got a capital C on that there? I cannot pull together the goddamned audio for this. It will not record off of, like, if I fire up Skype, I cannot record it. And I don't know what to do. And there's no way that I'm like rigging up like 12,000 wires all over here to another machine and through the flux capacitor and the discombobulator and readjusting all that just to do this. So I don't know what's going to happen. We could do it ourselves, but I really want Dan on the show.
Yeah.
But there's fucking audio problems like hell. And if he records it on his end, which we know is all hooked up all crazy like.
They'll have to send you like an 8 gig wave file.
Which isn't going
to
happen. Yeah, it'd probably be like a gig. And there'd be no way that that's going to happen. And I have all the waves.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very secure in knowing that. And if I didn't have one, it would like, my brain would melt down. Number two thing that we did wrong. A crack on the hinge is no big deal. We're talking about the Nintendo DS here and the story we talked about where people were freaking out about the damn crack on the DS. If I spend a decent amount of money on any product, I would expect it to be worth the money without problems. Being a metal, what does it say? I think it's supposed to be put a metal or something. Put a metal hinge on there or something, but if it's gonna crack. It won't add a lot to the weight. Yeah, just like one little metal hinge won't. That's probably for sure. Granted, some people don't take care of the things. It shouldn't break that easily.
A little metal hinge will actually, though, increase the price.
Yeah, no, it would.
A little tiny piece of metal, for one, not going to cost a lot. For 10 million little metal hinges,
it'll go up.
Starts costing a lot of money.
That's a good point. Granted, some people don't care. Oh, I read this. I see. Hell yeah, Intel rules. Uh-oh. Built a Linux machine with AMD because I thought I'd better give it a try before I slate it anymore. Now I'm regretting it. Although it's not the latest and greatest CPU, Athlon something 3200 at 3.2 gigahertz Intel wannabe, since I moved out for a year to do my placement job, I took my Linux box rather than my Windows because it has less stuff to carry. And now I'm sad. I missed the speed of my Windows box, which had the genuine 3.2 gigahertz Intel. And it's so much better. Man, I should join the IRC someday and see C4 world. Yeah, it's a lot different there. Despite these setbacks, I still love your show, DT in England. Now, I don't even want to get started on this damn Intel versus AMD thing, because I am of the opinion that whatever the hell is the top dog at the time is what you should have. However, I have always been afraid of the AMD 64 stuff, mainly because not everything works on it, particularly the stuff I want to use. And so I've kind of steered clear of that. So I've always kind of had to play around with I have a 3.4 Prescott, you know, Intel Pentium 4.
You poor, HT, poor man.
You know, 2 gigs of the slowest DDR mankind has ever seen, and it lags ass, though. But it's fast once it gets going. That's the thing about it. And I don't know. The AMD ones do seem pretty responsive and everything, but they still use DDR400, right? Now, there's a damn near equal machine in this room that uses DDR400, has 2 gigs of it, and it smokes this machine as far as, like, responsiveness.
It's because the AMD memory controller was the shit.
Right.
That's so, why they didn't change right away.
Right.
Because they had a really solid system.
I don't care. The reason I have this chip is because I got it for like peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
When I got this, I got the board, a full-blown copy of XP Pro, and a chip for $200, brand new, every part. Retail on the chip at the time was like $600, so that's why I got it. Before that, I had an Athlon XP 2600, and it was fast as all hell. And it was even an older one,
mm-hmm.
You know? And I thought it was plenty fast, and I had a decent video card in there. But now, you know, things are, you know, AMD has basically just been kicking some ass. The Athlon 64 chip is nice, and everybody that has it swears up and down it's the best thing since sliced bread.
I'm sorry for the generation you're talking about, you're wrong. AMD kicks the shit out of
Intel. I think so, too.
In that generation.
Right, exactly. Through that series. Now, even the Pentium D series and the Athlon X2, I still think the Edge goes to that Athlon. Mm-hmm. I really think it does. I haven't.
They're way cooler.
All right, I'm sure.
But my friend's X2 runs at 32 degrees.
God damn. Yeah, well, okay. But anyway, but now, as of a couple weeks ago, the Conroe came out from Intel, the Core 2 Duos. And these things are, well, they've basically given Intel the throne again after not having it for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And
that'll happen.
Yeah, you know, hey, this, you know, whatever. They can't be the best all the time. They got to try, and competition is good. This maybe will get AMD to work a little harder than what they've got with their current AM2 chips, because they're basically Athlon 64s repackaged,
yeah,
I guess, or X2s repackaged, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's
whatever.
The same cores, just a new slot.
Good job, AMD. Way to compete. Next email from Crypt. No, last email. This is from Cryptkeeper. This came in, I think, 3 days ago, 8:10, I think. It was... Oh, okay, wait a minute now. This is what we watched just a little while ago. This was tonight on 8:10. G4 TV's Attack of the Show has advertised a debate about video game violence with our favorite terrorist, Jackie Thompson. Just thought you might find that interesting. I know I will be tuning in from Crypt Keeper. Now, we didn't catch this on the day it came out. I got this email, and I still didn't want to turn the hell TV on, you know, G4 for this crap. But we did watch it. If you want to go to YouTube and type in Jack Thompson, it's like the fourth one down. You'll see it says AOTS versus Jack Thompson. It's 9 minutes and 13 or 11 seconds long, something like that. Mm-hmm. We watched it. It was, you know, short, like I said, 9 minutes long. The greatest line in the whole thing, right off the bat.
Jack Thompson's talking about some...
he was talking about whatever happened just before Columbine, right?
Right, right. And he said that the kid
killed
trained on Doom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, and it just rolls off of his tongue. You know, he's like, blah, 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 so-and-so killed those people and everything. And he was training on Doom right before the Columbine thing happened. And I'm like, what? Trained on Doom.
Yes, because all now, my hours of FPS playing... really qualifies me to pick up a gun and shoot
exactly,
somebody.
Exactly, exactly. I could join the military. It's a top-ranked sniper, basically.
Yeah.
With the hours I have under my belt now. And I'll tell you what, my proof that's the most asinine comment I've ever heard, those of us that have finally watched Doom, I thought it was a pretty good movie until they did the first-person part, and then it falls apart there. I really thought, like, oh, God, this sucks balls. But it's funny to watch it from a first-person view. Because all of a sudden you're like, wow, games suck. I don't know. It messed with my head for some reason, and I just think that it's absolutely nothing like that at all. So, you know, Mr. Thompson might need to watch Doom. I think that would maybe help him a little
bit. Or he might need to pick up a gun and stalk from office to office.
Definitely. Now, for the news, we mentioned it a little bit ago. E3, no longer. We got an email. Oops, I just dropped my pen. That did mention... from Super Tsinsin about E3, and that's happening. I mean, that was a while ago. The email came in. We were all over this. I posted a few things on the site to try to keep things updated, but I got way too busy. I still even never posted like a, oh, we're sorry we didn't make the show this week. I didn't play any games this whole week. Mm-hmm. I still haven't. We got to do that like right away. I'm getting the shakes. So anyway, last I heard for E3 is basically they were going to tone it down. It's going to be like a press industry type thing only. Like right. You have to be somebody now, which basically shuts us out, which blows. Because like Super Simpson, I always kind of wanted to go to E3. Not kind of. I always wanted to go.
So I'm telling you, now that we're selling shirts, we get a business license, boom, we're in.
Damn, I know. We just got to work harder.
We'll even get computers.
Double our efforts. You know, yeah, yeah. Video cards and shit. You know, I seriously. But okay. That blows. They were going to call it, I think... Well, I mean, they're talking about things right now. The E3 Media Festival or whatever. What the hell? And they were talking about, like, 5,000 more people. I guess the idea is, or the problem was, they were not happy that it grew to, like, the 60,000, 70,000 people attending this thing and just mobbing the place. And, you know, like, Sega, Nintendo, Sony, like how I throw Sega in there, and Microsoft paying big bucks for this. I mean, millions for this. And then a bunch of little developers paying quite a bit to get in there too, but they felt, you know, like, hey, these guys are basically paying for the show, and these guys are almost riding in on them too. And the little guys are getting more for less, while the big guys are getting a lot less for way more. You know, however, I think that they're doing a great disservice to gamers. Now, they will claim, oh, we lose 4 months of development time because of E3. Bullshit. If your product was worth a fuck, you can bring that to the show.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not worth a shit. And because it's, you know, a hey, look at me, look at how nice and shiny my game is, they end up hacking their own product, their own game, into making it work for E3 and have this feature and that feature. And
right.
You know what I mean? They spend all this time making it that way. You don't have to do that.
No.
But they do is the problem. And I think, you know, it's their own fault. You don't have to do that. Then they say, oh, but then we spend all this time taking all that out. You know, somebody wrote them off of that, and then they jumped to the money. Oh, but we spend millions on this, and, you know, somebody...
Advertisement.
Right. Okay. I cannot think of a single bigger advertisement for your game ever.
A 30-second advertisement on the Super Bowl costs more than what your entire week
seriously.
At E3 costs.
Right. Your 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
Right? And think about it for a minute now. People are actively downloading this and going out and seeking that. You know, and sitting there and watching, you know, an hour and a half presentation or an hour presentation, you know, the conferences. I love watching the conferences. You know, it's cool to see the setup and how they flow.
We'll probably still have the conferences and stuff.
They're going to have, I don't know.
If they're still going to have E3, but in a media-only thing, IGN's still media.
Maybe.
They'll still be.
Right, there. Maybe. They might not need to go all out like that, though. They might be a lot of closed, you know, behind closed doors type of thing. There's nowhere that they've said that this is going to get out to the public. It's going to be...
Why invite the media?
Because they need... Well, that's a good point. I don't know.
That's what the media does.
Right, but maybe... Okay, they've got a lot of deals with... And you can call me a liar all you want, but I am fully of the belief that a lot of like, okay, as long as our game gets a fairly decent review, you can come down here and check this game out. You know? Don't report on our bugs that's not done.
Quite that blatant,
I swear to
but
God.
It's more like a hint, yeah, wink, wink.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, and if they give them a little maybe heads up and they're allowed to put a little blurb on there, what I guess I'm getting at is it may be for the media, yeah, and GameSpot and fucking IGN and all them go there and maybe they won't bring their video cameras because maybe it's not like a show. Maybe it's more of a small gathering thing, you know, and... So people wouldn't want to watch the video. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe they just sit them down in a room and let them stick around for a little bit so they could write an article on it, but not post an hour and a half video on it online.
I don't know. I bet you we still get to see that stuff.
Well, hopefully. See, that's the problem. Nobody knows.
No.
There has been no, this is what's happening yet, you know? Now, my fears are that PAX picks this up. The fucking Penny Arcade Expo.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, whatever the fuck it's called. That would be my fear. What else is there? CES was taught with thinking about it. Picking it back up, I say, because back in the days, before we had E3, we had the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show. That's where we got all of our gaming stuff from. Now it's like cool gadgets and porn or something. You know, which is fine. I would love to see, I mean, screw the booth, babes. You got your games people there, you know, all these giant booths and all the developers there. And in the same room, porn!
Yeah.
That's
real
a
titties.
Yeah, that's
games.
A much, much better system. So I'm all for CES taking it back. So I don't know. I mean, we're going to see what happens. We had to mention that because that was big news that we kind of skipped over just because we were not around. We missed the last 2 weeks due to shit happens, my friends. Fear. First Encounter Assault Recon. Multiplayer is now free. They have, like, taken that out of the game and made a standalone game called Fear Combat, and it's just the multiplayer. And I have to give credit to Lord Drek for this one. On IRC, he told me about this, and I would have missed it otherwise completely.
I don't quite understand this. Multiplayer for computer games is one of the biggest things holding back pirates. You need a key.
Yep. I don't understand it either, other
and
than maybe Wolfen- it's just
Return to Wolfenstein
generosity.
Did the same thing.
Yeah. Enemy territory.
Yeah.
But I think the reason Enemy Territory did it was because it was like crap, we're late on the development of it. You know, this reason, that, and they had a couple reasons. It took them a long time. They didn't want to have to build in all the single-player maps and do a little campaign for them. Fuck it, just give away the multiplayer. Done. I think that's what happened with that. Now, this is going to be available in 4 days. August 17th, you can go to joinfear.com and sign up now to get a key. Which, I'm still waiting for my key, I think, come to think of it. I'm probably not going to play it, but I want the key.
Right.
And, you know, whatever. I guess they've got 10 multiplayer game modes in there, 19 multiplayer maps, 12 different weapons, Punk Buster support, you know, that's the anti-cheat program, and capability to download user-generated content. I would think they would have left something out, right? You even get all the updates.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. You get all the official maps, everything for this, totally for free.
Cool. Thank you. I'm just shocked.
Yeah. You would think it would be... Have a few maps.
Right.
Or no unofficial maps. You know, user maps, whatever you want to call them, you know. I don't know, but hey, that's pretty
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm pretty happy about that. So you can go to joinfear.com and get in on that. Now this is amazing. I grabbed this list from some people much more motivated than us. They basically looked at every single thing out there that told them what was coming out for the week. You know, basically, if Company X said... You know, this is what we're working on, and it's going to be a launch title. They noted that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what nwizard.com has compiled was the Wii launch list, as of right now, has 27 games on it.
It's freaking awesome.
That is sweet.
That's such a nice jump from what we've been used to from Nintendo lately. Suck it, Ribo!
You know, Here's Mortal Kombat. No, what is it? Pilot Wings and Mario?
Yeah.
Is that what you were saying?
Yeah,
I remember I had Mortal Kombat.
N64.
I had Mortal Kombat early.
Launch day.
No, it was like a couple days later, though. It was soon. It was soon.
Was it?
Because I had it right away. Because I was like, yes, I have all games for this console. You know, it was pretty bad. It was a small launch. But it seems like most of them are ass. So, do you want to blow through that list, or me, or what?
I'll go ahead. All right.
I'm just getting a little lightheaded over here.
The Wii List. Avatar, The Last Airbender. Blazing Angels, Squadrons of World War II. Blitz the League. Call of Duty 3. Cars. Dragon Ball Z, Budokai. Tenkaichi 2. Dragon Quest Swords, The Masked Queen and the Tower of Mirrors. Elebits. Excite Truck. Far Cry.
Wow.
GT Pro Series.
That's a racing game, I think.
Yeah. Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, The Crystal Bearers.
Bearers, okay. Yeah.
As in, like, I'm bearing this.
Right, yeah. Okay.
The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess.
I thought we had a new flavor gummy bear there for a minute. I was. Damn.
Madden NFL 2007. Marvel Ultimate Alliance. Metal Slug and Anthology. Metroid Prime 3 Corruption. Monster 4x4 World Circuit. Need for Speed Carbon. Open Season. Rayman Raving Rabbids.
Yeah, that's a weird title. I keep fucking that one up too.
Red Steel, SpongeBob SquarePants, Creature from the Krusty Krab, Super Monkey Ball, Banana Blitz, Tony Hawk's Downhill Jam, Trauma Center Second Opinion, and Wii Sports.
That is sweet.
And it's a great, like, wide range of games.
They don't have, you know, nothing but Mario knockoffs.
Yeah.
Or they don't have, like, the 360, you know, okay. Now, they also went ahead to tell us exactly, you know, because people are lazy. So on the same page, they put down the launch list the stats, basically, on the 360. The 360 launched with 18 games, which was more than I thought, so that's not bad. But 11 of them were sports games. For God's sake.
Six of them were shooters.
Yeah. And then they wrote on there for the PS3, thus far, it has 15 games with a launch date of November 17th. We still don't have the launch date, do we, for the Wii?
No, not officially, I don't
think. Yeah, this is terrible, because you know what? When we did the notes today, I didn't pull up my normal list of, like, brand new breaking news. This is crap I've been piling up for the 2 weeks.
Right,
I was afraid to look today because it's been so long. But we do have, look at an hour left and plenty of real actual content, unlike 127. A lot of people did not like that, by the way.
127?
Yeah. I mean, we were light on stuff. What do you want us to do? Not just a little bit of news and whatnot. Some things that we managed to play this time. Should be a whole lot better than last episode because we did get a couple of complaints about that, about how dry we were for actual content. But I mean, what can I say? It sucked, and I didn't have shit anyway over the 2 weeks that we missed.
Mm-hmm.
So it did not bother me at all to sit on my fat lazy ass and play Dungeon Siege and some fucking Warcraft 3 and enjoy every minute of it and not do the show. Although I did miss doing it.
Yeah.
There was just nothing to talk about anyway, nothing really good.
It happens sometimes.
Unfortunately, it does. It's what we like to call summertime. Unfortunately.
Oh, just, not to mention, no one's on the ball all the time. I mean, we're going to be...
Ho, ho, ho! Talk about on the ball. I just want to point out on IRC right this very second, Zayfan is talking shit about us not managing to record. So go fuck yourself. 128 is in progress. As you talk your trash. In any case, first up for this week, we've got Dark Messiah of Might and Motherfucking Magic Demo has come out. Oh, I got a great idea, and I should have done this before. There is a, it's the Snakes on a Plane website, where you can, like, type in some shit, and they've got Samuel L. Jackson's voice repeating back to you, in his voice, whatever you want. I should have him say that. That would be friggin' awesome, just to hear him say motherfucking. Oh my god. That's a great idea. My sister told me about that this morning. Damn it. This is from Ubisoft. And it's, you know, 3DO's former property of Might and Magic. So those of you who don't know, and I'm shocked at the amount of people that do not know what the hell Might and Magic is.
Hmm.
Like, I've run across people that have not played, like, Ultima games. Like, okay, you know, not played. No. I've never played them. But, I mean, like, I have 1 through 7, you know, or maybe even up to 8. And I've seen
them.
And I remember, right. But I was never a big fan, you know. But I see, like, a bunch of people. Well, what is this like? Is this like Final Fantasy? And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. This is, like, way more real RPG from, well, Final Fantasy VII and up. In any case, this is the demo. The retail release of this for the U.S. supposedly will be October 2006. Our friends across the pond in Europe, September 29th, 2006.
Not too far behind compared to what it usually is.
Yeah, that's not too bad at all. It's like, well, depending on what day in October, a month or two. So that's not too terribly bad. And, well, basically, this game, what to say? It's what I have been looking for a while.
It has the chance to be really fat.
Right, it definitely does. I am probably going to fill the cup when this game comes out. And whether or not it's good or not, like really an actual good game or kind of half-assed, it's the kind of thing I've been wanting. It is not what a lot of people thought.
Mm-hmm. Right. A lot of people think it's like in the line of Oblivion.
Right.
Which I suppose combat-wise it is a little bit.
It seems like it's like Oblivion combat, but, you know, with the fun added into it, though, I think. And I think that was one of the big downers for Oblivion for me.
There is a lot to the combat, because that's all it is. It is not your standard run here, do this, run here, do that
right.
RPG.
Right.
As far as I can tell, there's going to be very little to no quests.
It's first-person Diablo.
Right.
Is kind of what it strikes me as, really. But it's a first-person action. It's an action, first-person
action RPG.
Action RPG, fantasy RPG with RPG elements.
Right.
Okay, I mean, but that's what I like. I think a dying breed. I love single-player, first-person shooter games. Most people I know, oh, I don't care. I just buy it for the multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
Most people tell me that. And I don't like the multiplayer. And the reason really comes down to it's incredibly repetitive.
Yes.
Right? Now, that can be okay as long as it's fun. But the problem is the fun gets sucked out of most multiplayer games. Unfortunately, to play that, you have to play with other people, and it's this problem I haven't figured a way around yet.
And this will have
they
that
cheat.
Multiplayer type stuff.
And they whine. Right, it will. It's going to have all that. However, the demo didn't have any of that. The demo was just a little, and I mean little, 1.4 gigabyte, 5 minutes of a run through the like little tutorial.
It does give you a nice taste, though, which is what a demo is supposed to do.
Right, it does, but
the
reason
it's so huge is
this was more of a playable teaser than a demo.
Yeah.
I mean, really? Come on, you didn't do anything.
They should have included the boss.
Yeah.
If they had included the Cyclops at the end,
yeah,
then
that
I would
have been cool.
It would have been a full demo.
Yeah, it would have been a short full demo.
Yeah.
Though. Definitely. I did feel kind of robbed for my 1.4 gigs, that's for sure. however, at least as far as time is concerned,
right.
But as far as gameplay, it was really looking good. And I say looking good because it's not done yet. There's little things, like the Q button doesn't have a font yet.
Or the sneak attack does not have a bindable button.
Right, so you can't even do some of the moves in it. They have removed some of the skills, because when you first start, they give you a couple like points to put into whatever your skills, you know, a lot like an action RPG type does,
mm-hmm.
type of game does. And, you know, you're limited to like maybe a point in archery, a point in melee, and a spell or two or whatever.
That was actually because...
Well, you want to take a class, ideally.
Right, but the first point in archery was 1 point. The second point was 2 points. The
right,
third
right,
point
right.
was like four points.
But you couldn't
points,
get it.
And so you didn't have enough points
right.
to get that.
But there was some that told you not available in demo, though.
Right, like the other tree of the magic.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah.
The healer tree.
You couldn't take that, right. And that's something I actually never got a chance to actually play around with. I actually only got to play around with fire magic and freeze, I think.
Right.
And then I had to play, like, what would steer me towards, you know, the assassin, where I put points into melee and got to use dual daggers,
mm-hmm.
which was just awesome. Because, okay, the single-player combat in this, to me, was just sweet from a melee point of view. I ran up on dudes with two daggers, and it was like slicing and dicing. You know what I mean? It was fast and really well animated. you have those power moves. You can, like, charge the button for a second. Mm-hmm. And the guy doesn't do the same lame-ass power move. He's got, like, three or four different things that he does.
Depending on the situation and, like...
Where the enemy's at. You can impale dudes. Yeah. Which is cool. I mean, it really added that, like, wow, this is good melee first-person action.
And there is a ton of environmental interaction.
And, yeah, there's an absolute shitload. Like, I used to... I mean, I went gaga over the shooting the arrow into the bucket when we saw Oblivion at first. But this just kicks its ass. I mean, this just destroys it. When you're kicking dudes into spikes and impaling them, you can kick people, they get knocked back a bit depending on how hard you hit them.
Light a barrel on fire and everybody around that happens to touch it
catches on fire.
Yeah.
You know, you could burn bodies, you could back dudes up into fire and they'd catch on fire and fight you. Mm-hmm. You know, you could, the arrow thing that you showed me. I didn't notice that at first.
Zoom in or catching the arrow?
No, I knew you could zoom in. It was catching on fire.
Right.
That is cool.
Catch the arrow on fire if you walk by a torch.
That is cool. That is really a little touch like that. You know, it's just nice. What else did you say? Because I didn't get to try a lot of it. Like the slipping on the ice with the ice magic.
Right. Like if you have magic. Magic is going to seem to me to be more like a added thing to either being more of an assassin or a warrior. Because melee is really where it's at in this game.
So
but that's highly
far,
uncommon.
Though,
right.
I mean, because they did state that there was, like, straight-up classes, though. And remember we were reading the multiplayer thing, and it did say there was, like, a priest and a mage and all
right.
that. But at this point, I think you're right, where it doesn't feel like it's doing... I mean, for God's sakes, with a full mana bar, I can cast two of whatever that very first spell is, and I'm out.
Right.
And that's lame. Versus, you know, a ranger with unlimited arrows? Hmm.
Well, no, you had inventory arrows, but you could just buy more.
I never ran out.
You had 30.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, they give you 30 arrows? I didn't notice that. And how many mana potions? 4?
Yeah.
So you get 10 shots versus 30. And I can one-shot dudes with an arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And with the magic, I had to hit him in the head like twice. You know, like a fireball or whatever it was. But that was all I had, so I better hit.
But the nice thing is that if you like take that ice, you like throw it on the ground and they
slip. Yeah.
Or you can freeze them and then use your backstab to do the final blow. Or
you can use environmental stuff too. Like, you know, you can pick up those barrels, not just blow them up.
Right.
You know, like every other game, you can actually pick them up now and throw them at dudes.
Or destroy the supports for shelves so
right.
that it knocks all of it down.
I knocked shit down one of the times I went through it. I knocked all these barrels down and buried some dude that was down there. Yeah. Some other guy came around the corner. And I had not noticed, so I turned around, and he threw a barrel. Like, I just turned around, and I see this barrel flying at my head. And that's cool.
Right.
You know, that is awesome that the enemies are aware enough of the world to use some of those environmental things, too. Now, I haven't had one impale me yet, but I would like
I haven't seen one use kick.
Yeah, I haven't either. Yeah, exactly. I haven't seen that either. But I don't know if they will or won't.
They probably shouldn't.
But it shouldn't be a murder death kill like it is on
kill,
us.
Yeah.
You know, it should just do a fuckload of damage though.
Okay.
You know, definitely you can parry,
mm-hmm.
which is cool too. Because you know, when you're in there, when you're in the mix, when you're you know got your melee going on, you need to parry every now and again because those dudes have big swords. But it was a blast. I mean, I had a lot of fun.
The point of all this environmental stuff is that you could walk through that one room. And do things completely different, have an entirely different experience every time you go through.
And
so this game looks like it's going to have a lot of replayability.
Every single time that I've played it through, which has been about 4 now, it's gone almost completely different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any room that actually has some stuff I can use goes different. Like, there's that first dude where they're all, kick this guy over, and they're trying to teach you I have to kick him over every time. But as far as everything else goes...
You're in the room just by yourself with a set of skills. And
I froze that dude... And kicked him off the thing, and he landed on the stairs, and he was all stiff because he was frozen still when he fell. It was like, wow, okay, at least they got that right. And then he like thawed out and climbed up after me. I mean, it was a good job. They did a good job. It's just not perfect. This game has a lot of like either balancing issues with the classes to work out, or like identity crises with you know the classes. I think.
Well, and also like with mages, most games you start out weak and you end up strong.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point too. So I'm not quite sure how that's going
to... But the hitbox has a problem. Like, I don't know if I don't think you're...
I have not seen this yet.
But like I went into the main room, the room where you do most of the actual fighting, like not the tutorial.
Right, right.
And just that main room.
Well, I'd say there's two main rooms. There's the one with it's gray, and then there's the one where it's after you ride the little thingy down and you're in the temple
after
type
that,
thing.
After that, in the temple
okay,
type
okay,
thing.
Okay.
Like right before the Cyclops.
Right, okay.
And There's this orc standing up on a platform, and I'm shooting arrows at his head. And I am watching them ricochet off his head. And then just one after the other, and he's like not even recognizing that he's being shot.
And Jesus.
I was at an angle well enough that I could tell. I'm not hitting the wall. I am hitting him in the head.
Right, right.
And he's just not even noticing.
Now, Final Dragoon on IRC had a problem with that same thing. With magic.
Right, but it wasn't able to ricochet. So
right, it was a spell.
Right, so he thought he was just, it was
right,
that weak.
That's, okay, that's what, you told me all about this and I argued with him about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right, okay.
So my guess is he had the same problem only with
that's
magic.
That's probably what was going on then, yeah. I mean, the graphics look like near Oblivion quality.
Very solid. Very solid.
They're spectacular, so much so that it kicks my computer's ass.
You think you had it bad.
it's rough. I mean, just to load the damn game takes forever. Takes this computer forever. A long time. Right. I mean, minutes we're talking here. Like maybe a minute or two. Mm-hmm. Literally.
Long time.
I mean, it's days. You just get up and walk away. And it's like, I've had the game like completely freeze on me in the middle of playing it once for 40 seconds or so. Where just bam, for no good reason, it stops. I'm staring at the ground and I cannot move and no sound, nothing. Frozen. And then all of a sudden, it just picks up and play it. And it's not perfectly... I'm not getting a solid, like, 40 or 60 frames out of it. I'm getting between, like, 20 and 50, you know, depending on what's going on. So, you know, my computer could use a bit of an upgrade. And the other machine here, which is spec-wise almost exactly the same, except for it has a 7900 instead of the 6800 like I've got, and it runs considerably better on that machine. It really does. And the load times are way faster. The difference in the two machines is DDR400 versus slow-ass DDR2.
DDR400 with an AMD, right? Is that an AMD?
No, it's a P4 3.2. This is a Pentium 4 3.4. So, and they both have 2 gigs. So, I mean, the real difference in these machines, and they're both hyperthreading,
right,
is that the one's got DDR400 and one's DDR2 533. PC4300? Yeah. So, like, I don't know. Saving the game takes another minute. For some reason, you hit escape. It runs on the Source engine, though. And which is very well refined. So these have got to be well, not about very
saving
well
is not about the graphic engine.
No, but
I don't know how much loading is either.
Something else going on there, though.
So we'll see. Maybe they just have some performance tweaks to make. Maybe this requires a little bit of a more burly machine for more than just graphics.
Yeah, I the last thing was, and the only reason I mentioned it was on the Source engine was because Half-Life 2 and other Source stuff run in Wine or Sedega, but this does not.
Yeah.
The installer won't run in Sedega, but it does in Wine, but you can't get past that. Like, it does nothing. But, I mean, my point is, this is maybe someday this will run in Wine or Sedega, mm-hmm. which would be way cool. I look forward to that, but I need a burlier computer. This is a serious game here. Now, also, I didn't turn anything down. Everything was on high and 1024 by 768 when I started, and I just left it alone.
Yeah, mine was too, actually. So the auto detect was obviously not working.
Yeah. That, or maybe the demo only included that because
no, I turned it down and it actually worked.
Oh, okay.
When I first started it, I was getting like one frame every 5 or 6 seconds.
Oh, my God. So, and also, I had no sound on the demo at first either. Mine defaulted to 5.1 sound, both of these machines. Neither one had sound. I had to change them both to 2.0 stereo sound. There was no 4.0 or 5.1 working in the demo that I could see, so I don't know if you checked your sound.
My sound was defaulted at the 2.
Oh, okay, and it worked. Right, okay. Because both of these said it had 5.1 and neither one worked at all. And one runs an Auto-G, one runs a Sound Blaster Live 5.1. So whatever the hell with that. Now, so I don't know. Hopefully that'll be good. October is all we have to wait till. I'm looking forward to it, though. Dungeon Siege 2 Broken World came out, the expansion pack to Dungeon Siege 2. And I got this. It was retail price, and that is $30. It came out on August 2nd. Now, I'm going to start from the top on this here, because immediately I had some serious problems with this disc. My first idea here was that I wanted to see if this ran under Sedega, because Dungeon Siege 2 does. Mm-hmm. And you can go look at our forums and see how to get that working, as a matter of fact, because I poured blood, sweat, and tears into getting some decent and fairly decent games up there, and popular games, some fairly popular ones. There's a lot of things I want to add, but I mean, for right now, I think there's a solid chunk there.
It,
and there's probably 7 or 8 games on there, I think. Yeah, I mean, it's something that I want to kind of work on every so often. I don't know if anybody noticed. And I was up early for work, about 2 hours earlier than usual one day. So I added Unreal Tournament 2004, which is like the easiest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. But I added it in case anybody had any questions, you know. I added it. Little things to kind of help people along getting some games running in Linux. However, you know, you have to do that. I'm trying to add some things as I go. And, I mean, even, I can't pronounce his name. It's Madar, I think. M-A-D-A-R. Madar, probably. Mm-hmm. Madar. I don't know. He added the Quake 4 one, which was really cool. So, you know, we've got some people contributing already to the knowledge base. All right, or something like that. Back to Dungeon Siege 2. So anyway, that works for me just fine, and I've just started playing it because I didn't play it before. I hated Dungeon Siege 1, and I let that hatred carry over to Dungeon Siege 2. Therefore, I never played it. I saw screenshots, I watched a video. It looked like the same ass tactic game that it was before. And I wound up buying it just a little while ago.
And actually,
didn't play it. It sat here for 3 weeks after I bought it.
It actually isn't that much different. It's just what they did change was really good.
Yeah, because I am really enjoying the crap out of this game now. All three times I've gone from level 1 to 20. I accidentally screwed up my files a couple times and wiped myself out. So I'm on like my fourth run through getting to 20. I think I'm 19 this time around. I'm like, oh god, I hope I don't fucking think I've just decided to. I just backed up the file now. I just copied it somewhere else in case.
We have to start calling you Kobar.
Dude. Oh god, it's terrible. But you keep your other guys.
Yeah.
I lose my other guys. So anyway, I bought the disc, came home all excited. You got to expect a game not to work when you're trying to use something like Wine or Sudoku or Linux, period, you know. You just kind of have to say it probably doesn't work, but I bought it anyway because there's always the chance that it may work, being an expansion pack.
So, well, and you can always fall back on Windows.
Right, exactly, you know. As much as you don't want to, it's still there when you need it. The last month, the only times I've gone into it, I've managed to run updates, and I installed Dawn of War and Dark Messiah. That was it. Right? You know, I installed them. I played Dark Messiah for 20 minutes, and I installed Dawn of War just to see if anything weird happened, to fool with it in Linux, and just watch the installer for Windows and left. Oh, and then, of course, Dungeon Siege 2 when I did this, because this was a freaking pain in the ass. So anyway, I get it. It installs just fine with Sudoku. But one of the things I noticed was it installs itself in its own directory. So, you know, most of you are using Windows. So what happens when you install Dungeon Siege 2 is you blow through, you know, the installer. You just pound on the next button, and it winds up in Program Files, Microsoft Games, Dungeon Siege 2, and then there's all the shit. When you do that on this, it winds up in Program Files, 2K Games, Dungeon Siege 2, Broken World, and all the shit's in there. And I thought, boy, isn't that strange? And this is how I broke my character and lost everything here, was because... What happened was I saw that, right? I saw that it was doing a different path. And so my initial thing was, oh, this needs to go into the same directory, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And because I'm running it in Sudoku, it's not seeing it. So I type in Microsoft Games, Dungeon Siege. Wham, I install it. It overlaid all of Dungeon Siege 1 and hosed both of them. And so that doesn't work. You have to install it secondary, like something else, right? It does not directly, like, change the game. Your Dungeon Siege 2 will still be version 2.2, the latest patch. When you're done with this,
it will use the files it needs to.
Right, it pulls the media files out of it and then the map files and data files out of it. But as far as everything else, it's left alone. You have a whole separate Dungeon Siege 2.exe file in this 2K Games directory and everything. So things are set up very weird. Very weird. You can, and it's version 2.30, not 2.2.0. It's weird. So anyway, I fire up Windows thinking, okay, crap, that's too bad, it doesn't work, you know. I tried two or three different things, letting it go into its own directory, it doesn't work. Then I hose my character, you know. So anyway, fire up Windows, I stick the disk in, the auto run pops up, I click install games, Windows hangs. This is a clean install of Windows with the latest patches. Mm-hmm. I've used it for like maybe 20 hours. It just hangs the machine. So I hit the power button, restart, back into Windows, thinking something weird happened, and now I know what files are on the disk, though, because I just hit the auto run before and let it launch. When I was fooling around with Sudoku, I pulled up the real installer, which is one file that's like 680 megs or something, or
right.
650 megabytes, and it's like Dungeon Siege 2x underscore setup.exe or something. So instead of using the auto run, I pull up my computer, click on the disk, explore it, and click on the actual installer. Wham! Machine just dies again. It just sits there forever, spinning the disk. It never will load that big of a file for whatever reason. It just won't pull it up. I don't know if anybody else is having any problems. Reboot Windows again. Third time's a charm. This time I'm smart. I just copied the giant file onto my desktop and ran it from there, and it fires up instantly. Like, good fucking job. So I install it, and basically I'm going to cut my installation story here, because what happened was once I got it to install in Windows, I saw how it worked, and then fooled around with it in Sudega, and was able to get it to work with a lot of fucking around, basically, and I actually put how to do that in the forum, and I don't know, maybe people will find that useful. But in any case, once you get it running, you have like two games now installed, basically. Like, as far as it's concerned, it's a separate game. You can still fire up your original Dungeon Siege 2 game and still play your same character, but if you fire up the Broken World executable, which is in a different directory, you can, you have to import your character, but it converts it, so you will not be able to go back, but it leaves your other one alone.
Right.
So, like, if you wanted to, for whatever the hell reason, you can go back and play just plain Dungeon Siege 2, multiplayer with other people, I guess, maybe. I don't know. You know what? That's one thing I didn't check and see is if it had multiplayer on the Broken World part of it.
It's got to.
I thought that too, but something...
No, I know I read something.
That it did say multiplayer? Okay, yeah. I hope so, because I noticed on the... you go to BestBuy.com, it says single player. Or maybe it was like EBGames.com. One of them said single player only. One of them did, and it's wrong. It's got to be wrong.
Yeah, I read something.
I don't remember
from
looking.
Gas Power.
Because it doesn't work in Sudega.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't get to use it anyway. But anyway... make sure you don't install it over that same directory. You copy your character over, the game does it for you. You don't have to like move any files.
Right.
It copies your character. There's an option for that. It also comes with a couple like pre-made dudes in case you don't have your character, I guess, or you're just lame and
you
want to start.
Installed or you played all the way up to Adventure or Mercenary or whatever the hell.
Oh,
the
right.
So now you're level 100 and something in the game.
100, I think, is the cap.
And break, yeah.
If it wasn't before, it is now. Yeah. One of the two. But so, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's a couple pre-made dudes, you know, they have the standard guys and all. They added, it's an expansion pack, so they added some stuff. The one thing I forgot to mention, you can actually play, it works, the Broken World version of the game and play from the very beginning of the game.
Yeah.
But you have to realize, yeah, you get all the beneficial stuff. They've added the new race, which is they've added dwarves. People wanted to play a dwarf. They've added two new classes. We're going to talk about those in a minute. But you also get the new gear and spells and items and whatnot show up in the game too. But also the increased difficulty.
Yeah, I don't know why they did it.
I'm for it, I think. It seems to be good.
Well, yeah, it was a little too easy, at least from the very get-go.
I blew through level 1 through 20 in no time flat 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Once I got this working and actually sat on a plate, it took me forever to get to 19.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was parts where I had to stop and grind. And you would clear an area, and it takes for days for a respawn. So I would save the game, exit, reload my game, and just be there with new mobs again. And just clear them all out over and over again.
But it looks like they actually did it like by hand on purpose, because... Like, there's a room towards the very beginning where they added a third boss. And that wasn't there before. So it's not like they just, across the board, increased stats.
Right, right, yeah.
They actually, like...
Peppered it through, you know, and, yeah.
Added difficulty.
Yeah, that's really weird.
Which can be really cool if you're, like, really addicted to this game, but you've beaten the crap out of it.
Right, did you actually read my very last... Oh, no, maybe you didn't. Oh, it's on that first page. It's just the last lines on the third page of the notes. I don't know if you read my actual final thing on it. I don't know if it makes any sense, but that's almost exactly what I'm saying, is it might not play well for some people because of that,
mm-hmm.
but it really does if you're into it. So in any case, I'm playing Broken World now, but not the expansion. I'm still working on the original stuff, but I have all the benefits, so therefore I have access to the new, what they call, classes. And it's not quite a class that they've added to the game. One of them is a Fist of Stone. I don't know, they could have called it Paladin. You know, it's a melee, it's a mix of your, okay,
fighter
people must not know. I'm sure they don't. You have four things, right? You've got melee, ranged, combat magic, nature magic.
Mm-hmm.
You can probably figure out what those mean. Okay, so you level those up however the hell you want as you go through, and you can put points into skills in those as you get higher in levels in those skills, but you get points based on your level.
Right.
Okay, so, yeah, something. So... these new classes, Fist of Stone, it's like a melee and nature magic, so it's like a paladin. So you kind of have to work on both of those, nature magic and melee for a while, and before you can put skills into Fist of Stone, it's not like they gave you a whole new class you can start from the ground up. Like, you can go straight fighter, all melee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in my first two tries were ranger, you know, straight range, and it works out fantastic. You can go, you know, combat mage or nature mage.
And they even recommend doing that right from the get-go in the training little area.
Right, because...
Don't deviate too far because you're going to gimp yourself.
Exactly, and they're right. But then they go and add these two classes. The second class is Blood Assassin, which, of course, got me all hot and bothered. And it's a ranger/combat magic user. Now, that doesn't quite work out to like you would think. It's not like you're running around with a bow and slinging fireballs. Basically, I'm running around with a bow that I can like kind of almost enchant. Like I, right. I can, if I shoot somebody.
If you're using the Blood Assassin skill.
Right.
You can indeed shoot
the fireballs.
Go both
ways. Yeah, you can. You absolutely can.
You probably shouldn't.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't, but you can. But going the Blood Assassin way, which I am this time, I am much happier, but it was so much harder to go through the first couple levels of the game. You cannot even put a single point into Blood Assassin or Fist of Stone until you're like level 15 or something, I think. You have to have like 8 points in range and 7 points in magic or something.
7 levels.
Levels, right, yeah. So
you can put all your points
into one or the other, right, exactly. So, and they added an NPC that lets you redo your stats now.
Right.
I haven't found that guy, but I need to. I don't know where he's at, but I gotta find him. I read this in the manual or something.
It's in towns.
So maybe I just need to look around.
Yeah.
See, because I stopped looking around after I'd gone through the game beginnings 3 times.
Mm.
And then I, of course, start Broken World up, and it's like, oh, fuck these guys. I know who I need to go see for my quests. So I never looked around for any new people.
The towns probably have changed.
Yeah, probably. So I need to go find that guy. But so I'm playing through his Blood Assassin, and it was freaking hard, man. I mean, it was brutal hard. Like, I was pissed off.
Not only did the game itself get harder.
But I'm a gimp.
But yeah,
I'm a little half-assed gimp.
You're not level 16 with level 16 ranged.
Right.
You're level 16 with, like, level 10 ranged, 6 combat.
Right, range. Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. My magic has fallen behind a considerable amount now. It's like maybe 4 levels behind me now, you know, so I need to focus on that for a while. But it's brutal. I'm trying to get that across because it is freaking hard. How did I go through a part where I blew through it to where I had to, like, grind for, like, 8 hours? No, maybe not that long. I watched about 3 movies, so somewhere between 4.5 and 6 hours,
mm-hmm.
I spent just grinding just to get levels.
Which is a problem because it's not this kind of game.
It didn't bother me because I didn't care. I was making money and loot, and, you know,
right.
I kind of like mindless, you know, murder. It's pretty cool, so, you know, good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that does tend to, you do become, it seems like a normal dude once you hit that first part of your new class. Like, once I finally was able to put points into that class, all of a sudden, it didn't go to easy mode, but it went to, like, how it at least I could kill some stuff, and I was still a challenge.
Mm.
I was still running like hell from things, you know, but it did get considerably easier once I was able to take execute as an assassin.
And it also has the benefit of, this is an expansion, it's designed to be played after the game.
Right.
And they have that skill where, boom, you can share your experience. And if you're killing level 36 things with that shared experience, level 1 combat mage magic is going to go up pretty damn fast.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. So now the graphics over time, they've held up pretty well, I think. I think the game, okay, the menu doesn't, and the character creation doesn't. It looks like ass for some reason in this game.
Yeah.
But once you get in the game, I don't have any problems with the graphics. They're not Oblivion.
No.
But it's not Diablo 2.
Right. You know? It's bad if you scroll way up in.
Yeah.
It's not. But you don't play it like that.
No, you don't. And it's not terrible. It's not bad. It's not bad, I don't think.
Right.
Not the game.
But it's actually, when you're playing from an angle that's designed to be actually played at, it looks quite nice.
It looks fun. Yeah. In fact, it looks, okay, maybe the polygons could use some work, the textures could use a little love, but the effects are good to go.
Mm-hmm.
All the bullshit lighting and like sparks and shit, that's cool. I mean, it's nice to play a mage and watch all kinds of crazy stuff happen because you've got, you know, you feel powerful when you're making stuff explode and whatnot. So, I mean, overall, I'm having a blast. Essentially, it's a party-based, you get a party of dudes, not just yourself. A party-based, like Diablo, really, is what it feels like, which is fine. I mean, it's a lot of fun. They added 40 new monsters, and there's little, you know, spells and items and whatnot. They changed the spell book, so before, you had, like, an auto-cast slot. So if there was, like, a buff or debuff that you constantly wanted on you, you could put your little spell scrolls in these 2 slots in your spell book. Well, they bumped it up to 4. You know, that's a nice little addition. Thank God they added spells for the Blood Assassin people and the Fist of Stone people to split the experience, so you don't have to.
And a few other spells.
Yeah, there. Yeah, other
crow enchantment.
Right. Yeah, dude. I got when I finally got that one that adds. It takes away 10 mana per hit with my bow on a mob. I do not have any mana anymore at all. It's terrible. I went from like not using it to I can never keep it in stock now. It's crazy. It's cool though, because now it's added the fact I gotta pack around mana potions now, which is actually pretty cool because it like gives me one more thing to worry about, you know? So I don't know. The game's got lots of pretty explosions and whatnot. I wish the classes were real classes though. Just it would have been nicer if they would have put in the extra effort and made them full blown real classes. The game's $30. Well, the expansion is $30. The game, Dungeon Siege 2 itself, is also $30 currently, if you were to pick that up on the shelf. Now, what I think about this, and I'm having a blast playing this game, by the way. I'm really enjoying myself. I think this is it's perfect for someone who, like me, is brand new to the game, right? And I also think it's a great expansion. Maybe not great. It's a decent expansion for those that are hardcore into it and just want more.
Right, have played it like 8 times and just can't get enough.
Exactly. But I think the casual player, the guy who bought it, played it through, and has never looked at it since, is not interested. I think it's not worth buying for that person. I really do. Or maybe if you're just desperate for a game, for that casual Dungeon Siege 2 player, I could see a casual dropping $10 on it.
But the new content is very quick.
Yeah, 15 hours of gameplay, they're saying. But
if you're trying.
If you're not trying.
Oh.
you can just waltz through it in no time, I guess. I mean, 15 hours is a stretch from what I've been hearing. It's like a weekend of play, you know? So that's not a lot. But it does add some cool things and allows you to experiment around and, you know, fool around with new classes and skills.
I've also read the storyline for the expansion is kind of weak.
It's an expansion light, right? So, however, like we said, for the hardcore fans and lovers, or for the Dungeon Siege 2 newbies like myself, who I love starting a game, like let's say if I find out some game is just fantastic, I love getting the expansion too. It's just like more game for me to experience. You know, there's nothing wrong with that if I'm starting from scratch, and it just extends my playtime and the cool shit I can do while I'm playing. And I would say it's a solid bet at $15. Okay, now it's $30, so that seems like I really ripped into it, but I also only paid $23, so that makes it not so bad in my eyes, and it gets kind of a bump up for me because I'm new to the game. Now, plus, I'm looking at this from the perspective of somebody who hasn't played before. Maybe you're interested in a game like this. You know how you just get like, dude, I gotta play a first-person shooter, you know? So you fire up your old standbys, UT 2004, fucking whatever. A lot of people play Counter-Strike or Dead, you know, whatever the hell have you. If you want something like this, this would be the game to pick up, I think.
It is good stuff.
I'm not so sure about Titan Quest yet. I haven't really spent much time with it. But I think right now this is a good bet. And
I kind of prefer the party dynamic, personally.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I'm thinking I don't, though.
Really?
I'm thinking I don't, yeah. I think I like the whole single player. One guy is just Rambo. But if the expansion was $15 for the new player, you could pay $30 for the game and $15 for it, and it would be $45 for, like, the game and the expansion for an old game.
Because
the expansion doesn't add graphics or anything, you know, new anything. I mean, well, you know, engine-wise and technology-wise.
Right.
So I think, you know, a solid bet at $45. Otherwise, you're paying $60 now for what feels like an old game.
Right.
And I think that's a little rough. So I hope I did a good job of explaining why I think it should be about $15. Okay.
Whatever happened, expansions used to be like $15-$20.
Yeah, but then people found out they could rob you.
Right.
So what else did we... Holy crap. Now we're going late. How does this happen? This is all you, brother.
All right. So we decided, from time to time we forget, but we decided to pick back up on our indie game section. And
everybody can actually thank one person.
Right.
Kizzle for reminding us constantly to do this, because it's not that we don't want to, it's that it slips our mind. During the week, I'm playing games or I'm at work, you know? I just don't have time to go play, you know, and search hard for stuff, you know?
So, this time, since my laptop does not have Windows on it right now, I had to pick something that was multi-platform. So I found this, Tribal Trouble. And from the creators Odd Labs. Basically, this is an RTS where you fight as either Vikings or like tribal Indian type people, like island people.
Right, okay, right.
And the game's not free, it's $30. The demo is free, however. And all right, the story, this is directly from the website. The story so far. Once upon a time, a gang of Viking raiders got so drunk celebrating their latest pillaging, they got lost on the high sea, stranded on a remote group of tropical islands. Here they chose to stay for a while, much to the annoyance of the local natives.
Very simple story.
Right. Well, the whole game is very simple.
Oh.
It's simple in a good way, though. Basically, you start out with maybe 15 peons. And from there, you have to build, like, housing. So you tell them, all right, build housing. And you just tell them all to do that. And they go gather the wood and everything they need for this one building. And then they build it. And you can throw all the peons in there. And from that housing, they, like, make more peons. And the more peons they are, the faster more are built. And so from there, you can take some of the peons and say, all right, now make an armory. So they'll go out and get the wood and whatnot for that building.
That's kind of cool. The automatic resource management.
Right.
That's kind of cool. In fact, I bet once word gets out about this game, up to Blizzard, we'll see that.
I did like it. But now once you have an armory, there is some like hoarding of resources. Because you can say, all right.
What other resources are there? I was going to ask, and I totally forgot while we were doing the notes.
As far as the demo goes, and this might be all of them because there was resources and stuff that I couldn't use.
Right.
And so I might have knowledge of the whole game, and there might be some things that weren't even in the interface. But the resources are wood, rock, iron, and chickens. And oddly enough, chickens are the highest, most coveted resource.
That's awesome.
So from the armory, now you can go and collect some wood and collect some rock and collect some iron, and then you build the weapons. And there's rock weapons, iron weapons, and chicken weapons.
Chicken weapons.
Yeah, the chicken warrior. He is the ultimate. And basically that's all it is. You turn the peons into warriors depending, and you give them one of the weapons and they turn into that kind of warrior. And then you go attack stuff.
That's pretty cool.
It is quite simple. I had a fun time playing it.
It looked fun enough because I kept looking over at your screen and trying to focus, and I kept going, damn, I want to play this game. Just to check it out.
Right. The benefit of it especially is the idea that You can have up to 150 units. That includes peons, all the different warriors.
Mm.
So if you have 50 different kinds of warriors, then you can only have 100 peons to do other
things.
Right,
right.
But and
how many different types of combat units were there? Like, did it show you on the demo? Okay.
And like I said, if the interface was full, there's four. And if it wasn't, then there may be a few more.
Right, okay.
But it was looking like that's all there is to it. And then although you also get hero type units, and I'm not entirely sure if there's just your head dude and he's a hero, like in Warcraft 3, or if you can choose.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure on that.
You can choose in Warcraft 3.
Right.
You have to pick out of like four. Okay.
Right. But in this game, I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Right.
You might just get one.
Okay. The sound was pretty cool. That was like the thing I got the most of, so I wanted to mention that, you know, because I couldn't really watch it, but I kept hearing the very tropical islandy. Tribal
it
sound.
Fit really well.
Yeah, they did a good job. It wasn't like intrusive or anything. The graphics were fairly decent too. I mean, I barely glanced at them from over here. But
the problem with my laptop is it got the widescreen, so it stretches stuff. And also I have the low end graphics card, so it tends to muddy up. So, but the screenshots looked nice and crisp, and the models were good,
right.
Even on my computer. That they had some decent animation and whatnot. The biggest appeal from this game, to me, would be the large horde of enemies, or units. Because like I said, you have 150.
That's a lot of dudes.
And you would have a good chunk of them being units that you're controlling. And they can all be one giant army. You can just click
them all. Oh, that's fat.
It's not like it's 12 or whatever it is in Warcraft.
That's pretty cool.
So that tends to be the general thing, I think. Like I said, it's $30. I'm going to give it 15, but keep in mind that Warcraft 3, probably the best RTS on the market right now,
amen,
is 30.
Yeah.
the same as this
the
game.
The same price, right.
And you can't really justify that, which is too bad.
Yeah.
Because this was a very solid offering from a company not backed.
Right.
Neither is Blizzard, but I mean, Blizzard is its own backing.
It sounds like there's just a few things that they need to do to justify this game as a $30 game.
It needs to be a little more complicated. There needs to be more types of units.
Exactly.
That sort of thing.
Basically what I was going to throw in. More types of units, and it sounds like they got it. I mean, really? More types of units is what people want. They want to have that crazy strategy by going a certain tech tree and focusing on a type of unit. Was there any air type units that you could see? No, right? And it's 6 players multiplayer. Six players. So, Battle.net's like, or, well, Warcraft 3, you can play a frick load of people. I think it's 12.
Isn't that many?
I think so. I'm pretty sure it's 12. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. There's a lot.
Right.
A lot. Like a pile of dudes. Okay, so that's not bad, though. And then, yeah, $30 for Warcraft or $30 for this game. Warcraft 3 for the win.
$40 for the battle chest.
Yeah, and so you get the expansion, too, and the little booklets. Okay, now as far as movies for the month, or week, month, I saw this movie called Grilled with Ray Romano. Everybody loves Raymond from that show. Romano. Kevin James, Juliette Lewis.
I can't remember if I've said this, but I want to. Dan sounds so much like that guy to me.
Yeah, he does. And Burt Reynolds is in this movie. Now, it's hard to read the title of this movie when you're at Blockbuster or wherever you are, Hollywood Video or your local mom-and-pop video store, because it's GRI and then the silhouette of them two standing, ED. And their arms are kind of out or something like that. And it almost looks like it says grifted or something. It almost looks like a different word. So I actually had no idea what the title of this movie was, and I was like, oh, a movie about grifters. This should be fantastic and right up my alley. And no, it was called Grilled, and it's about these two door-to-door... Well, no, they're not door-to-door. They follow lead salesmen. You know what this is? He's going to link us the... it's the list that we just read on the show. See? Blitz, The League, Call of Duty 3, Cars... Hi, Lord Drac. Watch this. Just read this list on the show. he's not listening. He's just copy and pasting us the Wii launch list. I wonder if this is picking up on the recording. You can hear the machine beep every time he sends a goddamn one more name of a game over to us over here. And this is going to go on for 27 beeps. I tell you what this is. This is server at work here, all right? Lord Drac is part of the node now, our information resource that gets to send random crap of news and stuff in the game world off to the IRC clients.
Which is good, though.
No, it's very good. They get filtered into our database of vast game knowledge and leaks out into the... Yeah, see, at the very end, he's on launch list for Wii, and he didn't see what I typed above. Maybe he will scroll back. In any case... Grilled. So, there's two meat, they're meat salesmen, like cold, like, you know, meat, like beef. Okay. They're meat salesmen, the Ray Romano and Kevin James characters. And they're way down on their luck. They haven't sold anything in quite a while. And their boss tells them they need to make a big sale today or they can go look for other work. And he's got like these three golden leads, you know, like the lead cars and shit. And he's like, well, look, this is the best I've got. So, you know, go make some goddamn money, you know? So these two dimwits blow their sales pitch on the first of the three great leads. Like, they've got the guy. They've got him nailed, and then the one guy, like, keeps talking and fucks up the sale. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so they're kind of screwed. They're down to two. And it's supposed to be a comedy. They're, like, making jokes about each other, you know, back and forth in there. And they just... It's not that funny is the problem. There's, you know, the occasional pretty funny joke. I did laugh a couple of times, but it's just not that funny. And so then... Something kind of funny happens, and one guy goes to, like, eat something or do whatever, and he sets the lead cards on the dash, and he opens the window, and one goes blown out the window.
Yeah.
So they're down to one lead now, and it's like they get fired. Well, they go to this house, and it's, like, this hot chick. And she seems to be flirting with Ray Romano's character, and is interested in buying some meat in this giant freezer and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, like, her friend calls up, who is Juliette Lewis. And she calls up, and she's like, crying over something stupid and says she's sick because she drank something or took some pill, whatever the problem, fucking, it was stupid. Mm-hmm. And she gets the other salesman dude on the phone pretending he's a doctor. Right. So now the hot chick and Ray are off in the room talking together or whatnot. And anyway, through this series or whatever, she's like just about to sign the paper and they're all happy, you know. to where, she, oh, no, we got to go to my friend's house. You know, so these two guys want the sale. So they go up to Julia Lewis's house, and she's crying, and he pretends to be the doctor, the Kevin James's character. And Ray and the chick are off in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. Right, this is hot chick. He's so happy he's going to get some. When all of a sudden Juliet Lewis's boyfriend comes home, thinks, you know, and he's shot. He's got like a, he's bleeding out of his shoulder. It's like he grazed them though, you know, and, right. And he sees them walk, you know, making out in the room and his girlfriend talking to some dude. He thinks he's cheating on him. I mean, it was just a mess, but apparently you get the impression right away that there's something not right because he comes in, you know, he's shot. So anyway, they're meat salesmen. They start trying to sell him meat and everything. It all seems to be going good. The guy mentions he sells guns for a living. Next thing you know, some, like, gangsters bust in and kill him, and this sets up the movie, basically. It's, like, 50 minutes into the damn movie, though, where it actually, like, kind of starts to go. You know? I mean, the whole time you're just watching these two salesmen be idiots, and it's, like, trying to be, like, a nice, funny comedy, and it just it falls flat. So, like, more than halfway through the movie now, all of a sudden you get, like, this great plot about, you know, oh, my God, they've stepped into this, you know, whole mobster life thing, you know, and whatnot. And, so anyway, from there, they get, you know, basically held hostage by the guys that were, you know, took out the other mobster guy, the boyfriend character. And they discover that basically there's a plot to assassinate some big old rich dude, whatever. You know, this guy. I can't remember what his name is, Goldfinger or something. This is the Burt Reynolds character, though.
Oh.
And it's just not... They basically, the whole movie is like the last like 40 minutes of it or whatever, and they have to stop these you know, gangster dudes from killing the other mob leader guy, gangster, whatever he is, and try to sell meat along the way. You know,
it's like they took two movies, crushed them together, and
yeah,
like,
basically, came up with ground beef. Unfortunately, this was not, you know, filet mignon here, okay? Unfortunately, sadly, I'm going to give it the 250 out of 875.
Ooh.
It was brutal to watch this movie. It was just not good at all. In 9 minutes, can we describe one of the best movies of the year?
I think we can.
Clerks 2 from Kevin Smith. Jesus Christ himself with too many movie burgers in him.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to go ahead and start talking? My jaw hurts.
All right, well, like we were saying actually before we started recording, this is a tough movie to actually review like we normally do because the plot is, like, extra thin in these movies. I mean, plots in Kevin Smith movies to begin with are not exactly real weaved together, but in the Clerks movies in particular, they're a bunch of one-liners, and it's done really well. But basically, in the very beginning, Dante and Randall, Dante finds the quick stop burning.
It's awesome. It's in black and white, too.
Right, when it he very walks first up, starts.
Yeah, except for the flames.
Right.
But it was a cool effect.
And so, obviously, he's not working there anymore. It cuts to an unknown time, but quite a bit later. And they're both working at Movies, which, for anybody who hasn't seen a Kevin Smith movie...
Turn off the show!
It's a franchise in that universe.
Yeah, of like a fast food burger restaurant.
Right. And so they're working there, and hilarity ensues.
Yeah.
Dante is engaged, and he's going to be moving to Florida. And so, obviously, Randall's a little messed up about that. Needs to order a donkey show.
we're getting down there.
That's about it.
I mean yeah, that's sadly, that is all we can really say. I mean, it's like, how can we say that this is a great movie, and yet we can barely set it up that much? It's because it's like, the story is that. You know, and then the end of the movie, and in between you've got donkey shows, ass to mouth, and the One Ring. You know,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's
you get to hear ass to mouth 40 times in as many seconds.
It's great though. You know, I mean, they've got a lot of great people that show up too: Ben Affleck, Wanda Sykes, Jason Lee, Jason Mewes, of course, is Jay, and she's kind of the main character, Becky. What's her character name? Rosario? Yes, Dawson. she's their boss at Movies. And I don't know how much I want to give away because it's such a good movie. You got to watch it. But like, it's not like if you give away the plot to a Kevin Smith movie that you're ruining the movie.
Yeah.
The fun is in watching it though and listening to the jokes and laughing your ass off. Now, there is a lot of, you know, inside stuff there, though. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you probably have already seen his work anyway, and therefore you're going to enjoy the hell out of it. But some people, they just haven't managed to see it yet. So, you know, you might lose out a little bit, but it's still great. It was still a lot of fun. I enjoyed the crap out of this.
I did, too.
Ass to mouth. You know?
It was definitely not as good as the first one, though.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't, and I think it wasn't as good as the first one, in my opinion, because of the overall plot, really.
Yeah, there was too much.
There was a plot there, and I was expected to try to follow this. Between ass to mouth, I was supposed to follow a plot, you know? There is nothing between there. There should be nothing between there. Lots of things between there. Those two points should never...
In the heat of the moment, it's okay to ask him out.
I'm telling you, there's... I lost that one. But basically, like we said, it's a fun movie to watch, and the fun is watching it.
Right.
And like you said, the movie and the plot itself is just an outline for the fun and for the jokes and for the really good humor. I mean, almost everything in there has you just laughing hysterically because either it's so funny because it's true, mm-hmm. or so fucking absurd and ridiculous that it's just that great. I mean, there were so many little times in there where it was just spectacular, and I'm glad they didn't focus a lot on the main plot. We wound up with Jersey Girl.
Yeah.
And I'd have, you know, slit my wrists. It would not have been okay. So, you know, I'm not too happy with that. I wouldn't have been too happy with that.
Right.
But as it played out, it wasn't as good as Clerks. It probably wasn't even as good as Dogma. Dogma's up there.
Dogma is probably my favorite movie of his. Probably goes beyond Clerks.
It's definitely the one I've seen the most.
Yeah.
It's definitely the one I've seen the most. Next has got to be Clerks and then Mallrats.
Yeah.
Even though Mallrats is great. I love that movie. It just seems to be the one I watch the least for some reason.
Candy Nipple.
So, we kind of came to an agreement on the rating on this based on the fact that it is a sequel.
Right,
Keep that in mind.
It has to be put up against Clerks.
Right, yeah, yeah. Originally, I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. And then Khobar, using that amazing logic he has that like makes sense, talked me off of my high little cloud and broke it down. And we're going to settle.
$7 out of $8.75.
$7 out of $8.75, which is fair.
If it had been its own movie, I'd have probably given it an 8.
Yeah.
Maybe $7.75.
$8.25. I liked it. If it was its own movie, it would have gone up higher, I think. Mm-hmm. Because there was a lot of funny shit in there. I mean, it had a donkey show.
Sort of.
Anyway, that concludes this. Oh, wait, we're not real. Okay, peace out.
Later.
Or something. And then, we need content for next week. See, and pretty soon it's going to get good. It's going to get fat. And then everybody's going to be like, oh, I'm so sorry, guys, that we talk shit. We're not worthy. And I'll expect apology emails. Thank you.
Yes.
Peace.
Oh. Some white freaky stuff. We'll be right back.